managed not to trip and completely hit the floor earlier. All right. We're going to start on our hymn books with 489, 489, or you can look up here on the screen as we sing Glory to His Name. Standing, please. Glory to His Name. Amen. Brother Ian, would you lead our service in the word of prayer?
Lord, thank you that we can gather in your house and hear your word preached and put your name up in praise and through song. Just be with the message today. Prepare our hearts for what you have us to know from your word. And please give us a blessing at this time as we hear the pastor bring the message. Thank you for all you will do now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. We are going to sing another song. It's called Immortal Invisible. It's on hymn number 34 in your hymn book, if you like the hymn book. Immortal Invisible. If you have your bulletin this morning, we'll take a look at the announcements for this coming week. Juan and Cindy Gonzalez are our missionaries of the month. They're missionaries in Veracruz, Mexico. Tantapico, I think, is the name of the, and I'm not saying that right anyway. They'll correct me when they get back, the town that they're in. They have three or four actual ministries, new church plants, so to speak, they're working with. One in the town where they went to, and then two or three others in other towns nearby. And so they're very busy with those ministries, very busy with training others that are there in Mexico to be trained to lead in those ministries. And so keep them in your prayers for their safety and health and for the growth of the ministry and for the Lord to provide them with those who can lead in those ministries and take over for them. And then this morning's message, off and on part three, putting on, and I ran out of room there, putting on honesty. Okay, we'll see that in the message in just a moment. Putting on honesty. And again, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I was going to cover a little more than just the honesty today, but I got working on the honesty, and I thought, nope, I think we're going to have to stick with honesty. So we'll come back to that in a few minutes. This coming week, of course, we already had Sunday school. We'll have it next week at 10 a.m. too. If you come join us, we have plenty of room. Just get up a little earlier. We're learning about being a soul winner for Christ, being a witness for Christ, and that's something that every child of God should be and can be. But like anything else, the better prepared we are, the better witness we will be. And so come and join us for Sunday school at 10. Join us tonight at 6 o'clock as we continue learning about the prophet Jonah and the God of the second chance. Jonah blew his first chance, but God is the God of the second chance. Missions committee meeting after the service tonight. Prayer and Bible study on Thursdays at 11. Deacons meeting at 7 o'clock on Thursday as well this coming week. So keep mind all of those things. And then ladies' boating outing is also this week on Saturday at 10 a.m. So ladies, please make note of that. Sign up on the sign-up sheet if you can come. There is still room, I think. There is still room, so you haven't missed out. So if you want to come and ride a boat around for a while, Jules is a very good driver in a boat. I'm not sure about a car, but in a boat, she does really great. So so come and join the ladies, 10 a.m. Saturday, and then there's lunch at 12:30 following at our place down the road here. So ladies, don't forget about that. Next men's Bible study is June 23rd. Vacation Bible School is coming up swiftly. And now we are in June, and it is the end of the month. And so please be in prayer for that ministry. Also, there are flyers on both tables for you to hand out to anybody you know that might want to come to Vacation Bible School. So make sure to grab a few of those flyers. Maybe you have neighbors, maybe you have relatives, maybe you have friends that have children, and get those things to them now so they can begin preparing. Again, we have plenty of room, and we have always had plenty of help. But still, having said that, if you would like to help and you haven't said anything to us, now would be a good time, okay? Vacation Bible School, the end of the month. Please take some of those flyers. Birthdays in the month of June, we put the birthdays in the last Sunday of the preceding month and the first Sunday of the month. And there's a couple that are highlighted there. Mary McManus, we've been celebrating her birthday a day late for 2 years. So anyway, hers is June 5th, and we added Ashley up here. Hers is on June 15th. So, and do play some gospel tracks back there off the table or the one out here. You can be a witness just by handing somebody a gospel track. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That track is full of the Word of God. And so, hand those out. All right, I think that's all the announcements I have, I do believe. So let's stand and let's sing together. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Take a moment to welcome somebody nearby to the service today. Amen. Let's sing it through once more as we find our way back to our places. I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. You may be seated. We are going to sing another song, though. It's entitled, I Love You, Lord. It is not in your hymn book, so if you're looking in your hymn book, you won't find it there. But it's entitled, I Love You, Lord. It starts out, I thank you, Lord, for all you've done.
Thank you.
Amen. I hope you meant that this morning. And now David is going to play a special on the trombone, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Thank you, David. The children can be dismissed for children's church at this time. So, all right. And if you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and back to verse 17. Now everybody gets the context here this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Walk there is a metaphor for live, okay? Conduct yourself through life. "Not as other Gentiles or the unsaved, for we are now children of God," verse 18. "Having the understanding," speaking of the unsaved, "darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." That's not the way of Christ, is it? "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this opportunity to look into your word. May it pierce our hearts. May your Holy Spirit use it to open our eyes, to convict us of our sin, to challenge us in our service, and to bring faith to the hearts of all. And we pray, if there be one here today that is yet to receive your gift of eternal life, and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be their day of salvation. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. First thing you need to understand in this passage here is this: who you are in Christ. 2 weeks ago, we spent a whole sermon on this point. Who are you in Christ? If you are a child of God, if you have been born again, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have received Jesus, you have become a child of who? A child of God. Who are you? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is, having put their faith in Christ, he is a new creature, a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not the same person you were before you were saved. God has changed your heart. God is changing your mind. And God can change your manner of life. Most importantly, God has changed your eternal destiny. You now have a home where? In heaven. Who am I in Christ? Just a few things here we looked at a couple weeks ago. You are blessed with many spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings meaning blessings that come from who? That come from God. You can't get them any other way. Spiritual blessings, eternal blessings, blessings in your heart, your life. Number two, you are chosen to be holy and without blame in Christ. You could put in Christ after all of these. God wants to change you. He's already changed your standing before God in heaven. You have been declared guiltless, justified. But He wants to also change and can change who you are and how you live. Number three, you're adopted by Jesus Christ. We're adopted. We're part of God's what? God's family. Or number four, as it puts it here, accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in God's family because we have come through His Son, Jesus Christ, the way that He made for us to be reunited with Him. Number five, you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. Bought back from sin and hell, from Satan, by the blood of Jesus Christ that He spilled on Calvary's cross for you. You are, number six, forgiven forever of all your sins. He will remember them, the Bible says, no more. There is nothing written in the books against you because Jesus Christ paid for them all on Calvary's cross. They were nailed to His cross. Number seven, you have obtained an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Heaven. Number eight, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. God has put His mark on you and in you, who His Spirit who indwells in your heart and will keep you till the day of salvation, till the day that you reach heaven's shores. And you not only have a redeemed soul, but I also get a redeemed body. Praise the Lord. Amen. It tells us in another passage, we have been saved from wrath to come through the grace of God. And finally, that we are the masterpiece of God, the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Or for what? For good works. Ephesians 2:8-9, say, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should perish. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ. Notice that in who? In Christ. Phrase again. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That brings us to the next point. Number one, who we are in Christ. And all these things that God promised are yours if you are in Christ. But God didn't save you just to take you to heaven, or you'd already be there. you're here. God also saved us to conform us to the image of His Son, to bring glory to Him in the eyes of others by our actions on this earth. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, all these things you are in Christ, they are Christ's work in you. But now that you are a child of God, what does God expect of you? You've still got a life to live. You still have a job to do. What does God expect of His children? What now? You're no longer a heathen or unsaved or spiritually lost or ignorant. Your eyes have been opened to receive the truth, which has set you free. Free to serve who? Free to serve Jesus. Free to do what God made you to do. Ephesians 5:8, I have that up here, says this: For ye were sometimes in darkness, or previously in darkness, but now you are what? Ye are light in the Lord. Walk, live, conduct yourself as children of light, as children of God, as those who are walking in the wonderful light of Jesus Christ, and not those who are lost, stumbling around in ignorance and darkness. We of the Holy Spirit, we have been saved. We are part of His family. Walk, live as children of light. God expects His children. God wants His children, desires for them to live for His glory, but also for their good. Because living for the Lord is always not only in God's best interest, but in whose? But in yours. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Follow the Lord. The narrow way that leads where? To life. Don't stay on the broad way that leads to destruction. But if indeed you are in Christ and you've received Christ as Savior and Lord, you are all of these things listed here. Now, show it. Let the world see it. Walk as children of light. Put off the old ways, the ways of sin and the ways of the world, and put on the new ways, the ways of who? The ways of Christ. The ways that please and bring glory to the Lord who saved us. Verse 22 again. That ye put off, start in verse 20 again. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as in truth is in Jesus. In other words, if you're saved and you know Him, then live like it. Put off the old ways, the old manner of living, the old habits and customs, which are corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and then put on the new ways. Let your life exhibit the way of Christ, the way that pleases the Lord. The new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. What does God expect? He expects you to put off the old ways, those old habits, those old manners of living. 1 Peter 1:14, we read this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Don't go back to living like you did before you knew who? Christ. You know better. The world doesn't. God does not expect those who are unsaved to live like Christ. They need to get saved. But He does expect that of you. He does expect you to have a change, there to be a change in your life. and for you to put off those old things and to be renewed in your what? Renewed in your mind. How do you do that? You fill it with this. You spend time talking with who? With Him. With God in heaven. And God will change your mind. You're not going to change your actions if you don't let God change your what? Mind. If you're still thinking like the unsaved world, if you're still guided by the same philosophies, believing in the same lies, then you're really going to struggle to change the way you act. You need to be renewed in your mind. God begins that when you accept Christ. But it's an ongoing process, the renewing of your mind. God has to wash out the old and put in the true, which sets you free to live for Jesus. Don't allow the old beliefs and old thought patterns to rule in your heart and mind. Cast them aside and fill your mind and heart with the truths of God's Word, the mind of Christ, with thoughts of peace and joy and love, with a new discrimination. That's a bad word. You can't be discriminating. Discriminating isn't always bad. Murder is bad. Don't do it. Be discriminating. Don't murder. Don't lie. We're going to talk about that. It's bad. Be discriminating. Don't choose to do that in your life. Okay, that kind of discrimination, judgment, is not wrong. It's what? It's good. Have a change of mind. A discriminating heart that knows right from wrong. There is a right and a wrong. How do I know? Because there is a God in heaven who made us. And He has said in His Word what's right and what's wrong. There are absolutes because there is a God. And we'll all give account to Him one day. Have a change of mind and heart with a new victorious outlook on life. A new hope in Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ, we have the victory. It is ours. Satan is no match for God. Sin is no match for God. Those old habits, they're no match for God. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and so can we. Don't listen to the devil that says, oh, you can't do it. Oh, you're just like everybody else. Oh, give up. You'll never get victory over that. Don't listen to him. Listen to God. Jesus Christ is our victory. So be renewed in your mind. And then finally, you put off the old ways, you renew your mind, and then you put on the what? You put on the new ways. It's not just about putting off, it's also about putting what? Putting on. It's not all about the negative. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. It's also about do this, and do this, and do that. Christian life is not a life of, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Christian life is about what I can do. I've been set free to serve Jesus. I can serve Him with peace in my heart, love in my heart, and joy on my mind. I can show others what He's like. I can tell others who He is. I can live to bring glory to God. It's not just about the putting off, it's also about the putting on. Sad to say, some people only think about the putting off part and they don't think about the putting on. What am I supposed to be doing for the Lord? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So it's also about the putting on. Also about the putting on. So you put off the old. Put off the old. Cast it aside. There you go. All right. And then pretend this is a different coat. And you put on the new. Actually, I have another black coat back there. I was going to bring it out and I was going to throw it away and put this one on. But it's about five sizes too big now, which is wonderful. All right. Take off the old, put on the new. Stop filling your mind with rubbish and start filling it with what? God's Word. Stop gossiping and all that and start telling others about Jesus. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 here. Right, if I get it up, there it is. It says this, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That means conduct. "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." What does God expect? He expects us to be more holy, more like Jesus. He expects our life to reflect the nature and moral character of God. That will definitely set us apart from the rest of the world that is running away from God as fast as they can. "Be ye holy," God says, "for I am holy." Is that a reasonable thing to ask? Yes, because you are a child of who? You're a child of God. God expects His children to be like who? Like Him. Especially seeing He's given us His Word so we can know what He wants. And especially seeing He's given us His Spirit that lives inside of us to empower and enable us to do so. We're not doing this on our own. But I can with His help. And God expects that of me. And He gives several examples here of putting off and putting on. But for the sake of time, we're just going to look at the first one this morning. That's found in verse 25. Verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away," what? "Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor." Okay, first example given here is put away lying. In other words, take lying and cast it off. Don't allow it to be part of your life. Don't allow lying to be part of your character. Don't allow lying to be the way you approach and deal with things anymore. Now, does the world deal with things through lying and deceit? Yes, it does. But you, child of God, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you can put away what? Lying. You can stop dealing with life by denying the truth and lying to others. This is the new way, the way of Christ. Lying is the what? The old way. You want to be stuck in the old way? I don't think so. The new way is better. Put off lying. It is the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What does that mean? Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't lie to your neighbor. Speak the what? Speak the truth. Whether it helps you or hurts you, speak the truth. One of the six things that God hates in Proverbs 6 is a lying tongue. One of the six things God hates is a lying tongue. God hates it. He makes a list of things He particularly hates. He hates all sin. These are some things He really hates. And one of them is a lying tongue. And something that we just tend to sweep under the what? Sweep under the rug. Murder, big deal. Adultery, big deal. Lying, Why do we do that? Because we become accustomed to practicing it. We do it. And therefore, we don't want to accept that lying is so what? It's so bad. Everybody does it. Therefore, it must not be so bad. But it is. God hates it. In politics, it's called spin. In the media, it's called narrative. In business, it's called fraud. In the courtroom, it's called perjury. In the sports world, it's called cheating. In regards to another, it is called slander and libel, whether it's written or spoken. We also call it gossip, deceit, half-truth. If it's only a half-truth, then it's not what? The truth. It is a lie. It is called covering your rear end. It is called pulling one over on somebody. It is called hypocrisy and duplicity, exaggeration, a fishtail, a white lie, a fib. That doesn't sound quite as bad as fraud or lying. But all of those things are examples of deceit, where one purposefully tries to deceive another. That is not the way of God. Who is the father of lies? Satan, not God. Every now and then I like to watch an Andy Griffith show. I realized a few years ago that almost every episode, at least every other, Andy tells a little fib. Just a little fib. Just a little white lie. And things kind of go a little bit awry for a while, but then in the end it turns out just fine. My wife, she's not here so I can pick on her. She's in children's church. When she was a kid, she liked to watch I Love Lucy. What is Lucy all about? What does she spend every episode trying to do? Gossip or deceive her husband. She's trying to pull one over on her husband. It's funny. And then it's funny because she kind of gets in trouble and she has to get herself out of trouble. But then in the end, it's okay. And sadly, Lucy never learns anything because the next episode, guess what? She does it again. And it seems cute. But to God, it's not cute. People really living in deceit and lies, it destroys families. It destroys ministries. It destroys your testimony. It robs you of your joy. It destroys your conscience before God. Might even destroy your life. Lying is not a laughing matter. The world practices it. The world celebrates it. Does it constantly without conscience. As though it's a game to see who can outdo the other. Or it's justifiable because the means justify the ends. But is that really true? If your end is right, then your means will be right. And the means don't include lying. It is human nature to lie. You don't have to be taught. Any of you ever worked on teaching your children how to lie? I bet you didn't teach them that. It's part of their nature. It's part of the old man that we need to what? Put off. God wants us to be different. He calls us to be different. He calls us to be salt and light in this world. In a world that is full of deceit, He wants to shine through us when we are honest. Because honesty kind of sticks out in a world where everybody else lies when it's convenient. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is one good work you can do? Just be honest. Just be honest. Be honest. It will show people that there is a different way, the way of Christ. Before you tell the next lie, think What would Jesus want me to do? Before you tell that next lie, think of the potential consequences to your testimony when you get caught in that lie. David is called early in life the man after God's own heart. What did it do to his testimony when he committed adultery, lied about it, and hid it? It destroyed his testimony. Sin is a big deal. God forgave his sin, but not everybody did. And it changed the course of his rule and his sons after him. Think of the consequences to your conscience before God. Nobody but you has to live with your conscience. Well, God, He knows. It affects your fellowship with Him. It affects your ministry and your ability to minister for Him. When our conscience is harmed, our relationship with Him is distant. God is still there, but He feels distant. And we feel powerless because we are trying to hold Him at arm's length because we don't want Him to get close. Because then we'll have to deal. And it's easier just to try to hold Him at arm's length. Instead, confess your what? Sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be honest with Him. But it's always best to be honest the first time. You will sleep better. You will be less stressed. Others will be able to trust you if you will tell them the what? The truth. They'll be able to trust you for advice. They'll be able to trust you when they ask you to do something. They'll be able to trust you when you try to share with them Jesus Christ. But if you're known to be a liar, it's going to affect all those. Just be honest, especially when it works against you and others will take notice. Lie, and when you get caught, they'll take notice of that too. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Say, well, you know, lying, no big deal. Acts chapter 5. Let's see how God dealt with it in one situation. To impress upon the church that lying was a big deal. Acts chapter 5. Two members of the church here, members of the church, assume, therefore, have professed faith in Christ. Verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. That's good. They kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part or portion and laid at the apostles' feet. That was okay too. The problem is, they acted as though what they were bringing was the entire amount and not a portion. What is that called? A lie. They tried to deceive the church into thinking that they were so gracious that they were giving everything from the sale of their property to the church. That's called pride, by the way, and pride will trip you up every time. So they lied. Verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? Wasn't it yours? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power or yours to do as you wanted? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. What does that mean? That means he died on the spot. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She didn't know her husband was dead yet. Peter asked her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." What did she just do? Well, she just lied. That wasn't true. Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Praise the Lord, he doesn't do this every time we lie, or there wouldn't be anybody here today probably to worship the Lord. Praise God, he is a God of grace and mercy. But get this, lying is bad. And God needed to get the message across. This is not the way that you are supposed to live. You tell the truth. Be honest. There are consequences. They may not all be this, but there are consequences when we lie. Even when we think we get away with it, there are still consequences between you and your God. It is a big deal. Don't be Ananias and Sapphira. Don't be King Saul. God gave King Saul a job to do. He said, by the voice of his messenger Samuel, he said, "King Saul, go and kill all the Amalekites. Wipe them out. Don't leave anything alive." God had his reasons for that. And Saul went, and he fought the Amalekites, and he beat them, and he came back, and he said to Samuel, "Oh, Samuel, we've done all that God said to do." And Samuel said, "Why is it then that I hear the bleating of sheep and these animals that you brought back with you?" Because they weren't supposed, it was given explicit instructions. Not even the animals were to stay alive. That, everything. And Saul said, "Well, it wasn't me, the people, they wanted the animals, so you know." He lied. It was his choice. He was king. He was the leader. He chose to disobey. He lost his kingdom. Don't be Abraham, who lied twice to protect himself and ended up putting his wife in harm's way. He came into two cities. He didn't want them to kill him to take his beautiful wife, so he told them that his wife was his sister. Yeah, she was his half-sister. So it was a half-truth. That still makes it a what? A lie. So in two cases, kings, rulers of two cities, took his wife, and God had to intervene to spare her and Abraham from what would have come. Don't lie. Don't be Jacob, who deceived his father with the help of his mother to get the blessing. God had promised to bless him. God had promised to his mother and to him that he would be the seed of promise. But he couldn't trust God. He had to go to deceive his father to make sure he got the blessing. What happened? He had to immediately run for his life for fear his brother was going to kill him. Lying does not pay off. It just leads to more what? Trouble. Don't be Joseph's brothers. Killed their own brother. No, they didn't. That's what they said he was dead, didn't they? No. They sold him into slavery, and they told Dad that a wild animal had killed him. Well, they had egg on their face, didn't they? A few years later, when they showed up in Egypt to get food and found out they were bowing before who? Their brother, and had to run home and tell their dad that their brother wasn't dead. Be Joseph, who was honest. Be Jesus, be like Jesus and Paul, who told the truth when it led to suffering. Be like Boaz. Boaz, yeah, Boaz. Boaz and Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Ruth came to Boaz and asked him to be her kinsman redeemer, something that Boaz was liking the idea of doing, to marry her. This was his response: "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth." Do you think Boaz could have got away with saying, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it," and ignore the person who was next in line before him? Probably. But instead, he told the what? He told the truth. And he followed through. He went to the other man. He said, "I am ready and willing to do this, but you are first in line." Did his honesty pay off? It did. How about Daniel and his friends? Twice they were brought. Daniel brought before the king, his friends brought before the king. Probably could have just lied and said, "Hey, I didn't do that," and got out of it. But instead, they told the what? They told the truth with their life on the line. "We didn't bow, and we're not going to." "Daniel, I prayed." "Yeah." "I do it 3 times a day. I'm not stopping praying to the God of heaven." Or maybe a young lady named Cassie Barnell. Anybody recognize the name Cassie Barnell? She died several years ago. Somebody who held a gun to her head in a school in Colorado called Columbine High School. She was asked if she believed in Jesus. And she said, yes. There's a book written. It says, the title of the book is, "She Said Yes." And no doubt, and her death was a testimony that led to the salvation of others and to this book that was written by her mom. You say, "Well, that's terrible. She died." Where did she go? She went to heaven. She's better off than we are. She said yes. She refused to what? To lie. Be the person who lets the cashier know that he gave you too much change. Be the person who admits to the cop that you were speeding or the accident was your fault. Be the person who admits to their parent that you disobeyed and take the punishment. Be the person who chooses not to gossip or bend the truth to make your enemy look bad and you look good. Be the person who tells their friend the truth in not simply what they want to hear, especially when what they want to hear is not going to help them. And how many times have we been guilty of that? Be honest to a fault. Err on the side of truth. Put off the old man, the dishonest one, and put on the new man, which is made after the similitude, the image of Jesus Christ. Be the person of integrity and honest character in whom others can trust. It will change your life. It will change their life. It will bring honor and glory to the God of heaven. Put off lying. Speak truth. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for your word, the opportunity today to be reminded how important it is of your children to be honest and to speak truth. Lord, forgive us for our gossip. Forgive us for our lies. Forgive us of our deceit. Forgive us, Lord, of treating these things as though they were laughing matters or no big deal. Lord, help us to recognize the importance of being honest and how wonderful a thing it is in our relationships and in our testimony if we will learn just to tell the truth. Help us, Lord, to recognize truth from error. Help us to recognize that desire when it hits us to lie and to put it off and to speak the truth instead. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And help us, Lord, to be better witnesses and salt and light in this world for you. And we pray again, if there's one here today that is yet to receive your gift of eternal life, I pray, Lord, that they would come today to receive it through faith in you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you take your hymn books, turn, if you would, to hymn number 394. 394. It's titled, I Surrender All. And if you'd stand and think about the words as you sing this morning, if the Lord has spoke to your heart and you need to pray or meet me up here, please come. 394, I Surrender All. Amen. Amen. Brother Harry Poole, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer? Amen.